Yes, it will be awesome, and it'll be worth every struggle, every battle. It'll be worth it all. After dreaming of home, we'll finally be there. I have great anticipation, not just to see the beauty, but not only to see the beauty. There's some very dear people that are there that we expect to see. I don't know to what level we'll know and understand, but I long to see them. But above all, I long to see my Savior, to see Jesus. And thank you, worship team, for those songs. And I greet you this morning with love and peace in Jesus' name. A welcome to everyone. And I would like to, again, just bow for a word of prayer before we go into the sermon. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your desire for us to be with you. I thank you for your presence with us. I pray that today our thoughts, our hearts can be united with you. And thank you for your presence, and I ask for your Holy Spirit to be here, to continue to visit us today, in Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to continue talking about prayer. I spoke about prayer a few weeks ago, and I believe that this is I know it's a need for me. God wants me to spend more time with Him. And I think He wants all of us here to spend more time with Him. A few weeks ago, I don't know how many of you were here then, or how many of you weren't here, but I asked how many of you are satisfied and pleased with your prayer life. And I don't think anyone raised their hands, maybe because you were too shy, but it would be nice if some of us were in that place sometimes where we feel that our prayer life is adequate and we feel fulfilled in our prayer life. And sometimes we do. Maybe you are here this morning and that's your experience. Do you find, ask yourself the question with me, do you find your prayer life satisfying your need for God? Is what we so desperately need Him. Do you find in your prayer life that satisfies your need for God? We talked a few weeks ago about why do we pray? This avenue of prayer, the prayer, is such a mystery to me, how and why it works. God chooses to do some things that it seems like He otherwise wouldn't if we wouldn't pray. So I wonder how many things aren't happening because God's people, because I'm not praying. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes during our prayer always. But I want to review a little bit, and I'm going to refer back to the scriptures that we read a few weeks ago, how that we have gotten a glimpse of what happens, might be happening during our prayer. We're shown a window into Daniel's prayer. In Daniel 9, Daniel was praying, crying out to God in repentance and intercession for his sins and the sins of the people. And a messenger was sent to him. He was praying with and fasting with sackcloth and ashes. A prayer of humility and confession, and the answer came swiftly. The travail. He was earnestly crying out to God, and the answer came swiftly. A messenger came to him. And he said, as soon as you began your prayer, I got a message. He was a heavenly messenger. He got a message in the heavenlies, and go tell Daniel the answer to his prayer. So if I would love to hear your testimonies of a time when you prayed and God brought the answer swiftly. And then we looked at chapter 10 of Daniel, where Daniel was praying, and here he was travailing longer and harder. He was fasting, and he was not giving himself to any fine food or delicacies. He was praying. He started praying, and he prayed the second day, the third day. He prayed for a week. He prayed for 2 weeks. He prayed for 21 days in this mode of sackcloth and fasting and crying out to God. And he says the travail was long and hard. And there was no release, evidently. He kept praying. And then finally, after 21 days, a messenger came to him and revealed to him what was happening in the spiritual world during his prayer, probably because of his prayer. The messenger told Daniel that as soon as you began praying, I was sent to you, but I was delayed. And this messenger was delayed by another, the heavenly messenger was delayed by a dark spiritual being, and there was battle, there was fighting. And these two were fighting. And the fight was so intense that the messenger speaking to Daniel had to call for help. And Michael came to help with this fight. They overcame the dark messenger. And then he was free to go and deliver to Daniel what was going on during his prayer. So now think of your prayers. What is going on when you pray, when we pray? It's special that God gives us this window into someone's prayer. And I want to tell you a story about a prayer that a man that was praying that we directly benefited from and had no idea. And I want to share this story to continue to give us inspiration and encouragement to pray even when it's hard, even when it doesn't seem like there are results. And this was pretty overwhelming to see what was going on during someone's prayer. So the story is, while we lived in Asia, in Thailand, we were at IGO there and sent our students on ministry trips. And this specific group, our oldest son was the leader of the group. Our middle daughter was one of five. I think it's four or five in the group. We sent them to China they were on their own. They didn't necessarily have a guide. They went into China and traveled some distance with a vehicle, and then they were dropped off, and then they hiked for 3 or 4 days. It was in the back country among unreached people it was in the Tibetan area. They referred to it as tea country. So it's very dark land, but they went and they hiked through different villages. They would pass out the Bible on MP3 players, or MP3 players with the Bible, the scriptures, which is illegal to do. We didn't often do that or have them do that, but on this trip they did. So one day they were on their, they had stopped by a grove of trees to rest, and they had noticed that there were some policemen. Had noticed a police car and some police around, and so they were a little nervous because, you know, they were handing these out pretty freely, and they started hiking again. So they left the grove of trees and they walked up towards a city or a town. There was no cities there, but a little village, and they looked back and they saw the police car parked where they had been at the grove of trees. Well, they were a little more concerned. I don't think they stopped and prayed, but I know. They may have breathed a prayer, but Zach had told them, if I remember correctly, just keep walking, don't look back. So they kept walking, and after a bit, they checked, and the policemen were gone. The car was gone. Though they were relieved. They continued another couple days and hiking, and I think they were going to be a little more careful because they could be reported, and they came back, and they made the trip back to Chiang Mai. Didn't think that much of the incident. We learned by divine revelation that they were in grave danger. Carrie Hershberger was one of the ladies from Illinois, was on the trip, and she had a prayer warrior, or she had a friend that was praying for her during her time in Asia. And during the time of this trip to China, he woke up in the middle of the night, I think around 1 or 2 o'clock, and God showed him that his friend and this group was in grave danger. And I'm going to read some of his email that I have to show you what they didn't know. It says, "This is what was revealed to me about them. They became aware of your journey." And now he's writing this. I don't know his name, but he's writing this to his friend. "The police became aware of your journey almost from the moment it began. Most of the citizens knew that they could get some small reward for any piece of information they brought to these officials, so your movements had been reported to them from the start. The authorities soon began to watch you as well, but not constantly." Now this, let's get this clear. This man is in Illinois, and as far as I know, has never been to China, just knew that they were going on a ministry trip to China, but this is what was revealed to him when he woke, when God woke him or showed him in a vision. "Since the authorities began to watch you, since your movements were predictable and slow, they knew where they could intercept you every hour, and so they just kept tabs on you. But this was the night they intended to make their move. They were unafraid. After all, they were the authorities. They were accountable to no one. If something happened to these foreigners, they would be the ones called on to investigate, at least initially, long enough to cover their tracks." And then he talks about how God showed him how the population was under their control. And these men had committed some serious crimes and using their authority, and they had immunity. And he was shown the horrible crimes that they were going to commit to our dear people. And he says that "I was shown what horrible crimes they intended to commit here, and I felt sick. Next, I looked out from the grove of trees." He saw the grove of trees. "And he saw the group walking. He said there were 8 people." So we had 6 people in our group. There were 8 people, one in front and one behind, that had a blue glow about them. And these are the angels. "And then next, I was walking beside your group looking at the angels. And I was the only one that could see them." And then he goes on and he talks a little bit about what they were going to do to the group. And it was horrible. "But he was in travail and in prayer. He couldn't communicate with them, so he prayed for, I think, the amount of days that they were there. He prayed for them, interceded for them, because God impressed this on his heart. And they didn't realize until they came back and saw the email what he had seen. So he was seeing things through spiritual eyes, through God's revelation to him, had seen what the dangers were and was interceding for them. They had no idea. They were a little uncomfortable when they saw the police, but someone was praying, and God chose to deliver them from the danger. The need for prayer is, we just can't, I don't think we realize how important it is for us to be connected with God. Now, this is an unusual experience or happening. But for us to be in tune with God so that we can be sensitive to His Spirit when He calls on us to pray is powerful. The effectual or the prayer of a righteous man has great power while it is working, James says. And there are three major components of a Christian life, and one is for us to spend time in His Word, to fellowship with other believers, and to pray. Now, I think a lot of us would say that, yeah, we would like to spend more time in prayer or in God's Word. But I think of these three, prayer, Bible reading, and fellowship, probably prayer is the most neglected, the easiest neglected, and also perhaps the most difficult. I want to talk a little bit about what are the requirements of prayer. So, and I'm going to be looking at a few different verses here, jumping from verse by verse. In 2 Chronicles, you probably know the verse by heart. A prerequisite or requirement for us to, for God, to be in fellowship with God, and for God to hear our prayer, in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, he says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." Now, does that not sound refreshing? Do we need forgiveness of sins in this land, and do we ever need healing in this land? If my people who are called, it just doesn't just apply to this group of people in the Old Testament. So humility, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Pride and selfishness really gets in the way of God wanting to honor the prayers of His people. But if we can do that, God will hear, He will forgive, and He will heal. And another, in Jeremiah 29:13, we need to seek God with our whole heart. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That prayer is going to be different. A different sounding prayer than the prayer of "God bless me, my wife, my son John, his wife, us four, no more." We don't pray that, do we? But it might sound a little bit to God like that type of a prayer. A very narrow, self-focused prayer. And my God honors and He wants us to come to Him with our request for me and my wife and my son John and his wife. But he loves when we talk to Him about that. But my prayer often is a bit self-centered and self-focused. Seek Him with all your heart. And God is honored when we come to him in faith. And in fact, that's a requirement. James 1:6 says, "But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." And I think of some of my prayers that I pray, and I'm not expecting that God will answer. I'm not expecting that, but I'm going to pray to do my duty on this matter or on this subject. God is honored when we pray in faith. That's a requirement. Obedience. A life of obedience. A heart of obedience. 1 John 3, verse 22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments, and we do what pleases him. So, whatever I do, whatever you do to please God, he likes that. God is honored by that. Even though we cannot do enough things to gain merit, we can't do enough things to earn salvation, but we're doing things that please him because he did save us, because we love him so. And a heart of obedience is a requirement for us to come to God. And submission to his will. Some of our prayers may sound a bit like a command to God, that we have this agenda and we want God to come in and fulfill our plans, fulfill my agenda, fulfill my desires. But humility, wholeheartedness, faith, obedience, and submission to his will. So do you find your prayer life satisfying your need for God? The next question I want to ask is, do you experience the presence of God when you pray? So praying is work. I find it. At times it comes spontaneously. At times it comes easily and it's not work. But generally, praying is work. Sometimes it's hard work. The example of Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 there, you can read it again sometime. It was travail, it was in intercession, and it was in fasting. We have, Celeste and I together, have at different times fasted and prayed. Ooh, I do not enjoy fasting. I do not enjoy fasting. And God, however, is so honored. And God, every time, I believe I can say this, every time we have sought God in earnest with fasting, God has shown and revealed his heart. He's been faithful in revealing what we were crying out for in answers. It might not have been the answer we wanted, but he gave us the answer, and that's what we had asked for. We had asked for direction. We'd asked for wisdom, and God is faithful. Always, Luke 18:1, Jesus says that we should always pray and never give up. Pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. You know that's that verse by heart. Pray without ceasing. So I'm going to encourage us to pray persistently and pray continually and never give up. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read that parable that Jesus spoke about of the persistent widow that got the attention of the ungodly, the godless judge. Luke 18, verses 2 through 8. Jesus said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man,'" that was not a humble judge, "'yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" So, hear what the unrighteous judge says. He will not, and will not God give judges to his elect, to his chosen, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So there again, faith is an important component of prayer. But this widow who was unwilling to accept this judge's she refused to accept the judge's unwillingness to grant her justice from her adversary, from her enemy. She was relentless, and she kept pursuing the judge and kept pursuing him, and it was wearing him down to the point where he finally gave in just because she kept nagging him. Now, Jesus says, look, if an unjust and ungodly judge will do that to a person, will not your Heavenly Father much more do that to those that he loves, to his chosen ones? On your behalf, God wants to fulfill those longings and desires of your heart. Luke 11, Jesus talks about another parable of a man that got some unexpected guests late at night, and he didn't have his pantry stocked, but he had a friend that he knew did. So he gets up in the middle of the night, goes over to his friend, and he's asking him for food. His friend says, go away, I'm in bed, it's the middle of the night, go home. And his friend kept persisting and persisting. Well, okay, he's my friend, he got up and gave him food. So the lesson Jesus is giving us is to keep persisting, keep persevering in prayer. Don't give up in your prayers. So then, we prayed, and what if my prayer is not answered? We can probably all identify with unanswered prayer. Now, I know sometimes God says no, which we say is an answer. I'm talking about God is not giving the answer. God is not answering the request. And what if my request is not granted? That's a tough one. We've had those experiences. We probably all have. I'm thinking of, as a church here, we went through, Celeste and I were talking about this yesterday, how that our dear sister Carol, a beloved lady in the church here, became ill, and we prayed and we cried out to God, and we believed that God would heal her. God did not heal her physically, and she passed away, and we still miss her. No one more than probably her husband and children wonder, why, God, why did you not answer our prayer? We prayed in your will, didn't we? We prayed in faith, didn't we? Yes, we did. We prayed in faith. I went through that struggle. Many of you don't know, but I have had surgery on my hips years ago. 25 years ago, my hips were shot, and I was having pain. Didn't know it was a degenerative disease, and we prayed. We had anointings, several anointings for God to heal. We tried, I don't know how many different doctors, and we could not find the cause of the pain. But God chose not to heal. That's hard. It's hard to accept. But God showed me something special at one point of my life during a very, very hard time in my life of unanswered prayer. And I felt him with his arm around me saying, I'm doing this to draw you closer to me. And I remember the spot on State Route 60 where I felt that, and I had to pull over in tears because I felt, I experienced the love of God in this trial. I haven't always done that. Sometimes I've lashed out. We cried out to God on behalf of my mom's life too, like as in Carol. They were about the same age when they passed away. Mom would have been years earlier, but we cried out to God for her life. And I believed that God would heal her, and she died. And it caused anger, it caused frustration and crying out against God, but then ultimately crying out to God. But God did not answer that prayer. Why not? Sometimes we might know, and sometimes we might not know and understand why God chose not to answer our prayer with something other than a no. I want to look at, in the next few minutes, look at some possible causes for unanswered prayer. And I looked in Scripture for examples of prayers prayed by God's people that weren't answered. And I will continue that study because, but here are some reasons that I will list to you from God's Word why prayers aren't answered. The first one is unconfessed sin. If I'm crying out to God in prayer, I'm praying to God, but I am holding unconfessed, known sin, iniquity in my life. It's very clear in Scripture, in different places in Scripture, that God will not hear that prayer. So I'm telling myself, look, let's not beleaguer God. Let's not bother him with the request. If we know there is unconfessed sin in our life, let's first take care of that and find his experience, his forgiveness and cleansing for that sin, and then continue in the prayer. Isaiah 59 is very clear, and there's another scripture, I don't have the reference, but if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear. In Isaiah 59, it says, 59 verse 2, says, one and two. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. God can save. God does hear. The next verse says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So, church, let's make sure that unconfessed sin is not a part of our life and our heart. Selfish motives can be another reason that God won't answer the prayer. James 4:3 says, you ask amiss. You ask and you do not receive because you're asking wrongly to spend it on your passions. So maybe that's why you didn't get the new truck or the new boat or the new whatever. Maybe God says, yeah, you know what? You want to spend that on your passions? I don't think I'll answer that one. Am I not persisting? We talked about persisting a bit ago. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. If we are persisting, if there is no sin in our life, if there is no selfish motive in our prayer, is the unanswered prayer because God, might it be God's invitation for me to just simply spend more time with him? As often as Jesus talks about persevering in prayer, and as often as it's written in Scripture about persevering in prayer, I believe it is possible that at times the unanswered prayer is simply because God is wanting to draw me closer to his heart and spend Let's spend more time together. Because when you're coming to me in prayer, I get you. We can connect, but I answer your prayer and you run off and I'm not so much a part of your life anymore. If your prayer is unanswered, let's think of perhaps using it as a time to draw closer to the heart of God. Is God wanting to draw out of our faith a deeper reliance and trust in Him? God is so honored if we don't understand Him, we don't understand the whys, but we still trust Him. We still walk with Him in faith and in obedience. We're still walking with Him. God is very honored, and we don't have to understand it. We don't have to have the answer that we want. God takes great pleasure in giving that to us. And we see that over and over and over again in Scripture, and I believe in our lives we can reflect back and see answered prayer. God takes great joy in answering these prayers. However, God is also very honored when you and I can trust Him and submit to His sovereign will when we don't understand the answer or we don't receive the answer. So instead of seeing unanswered prayer as a reason to stop praying or to move away from God, let's instead use it as a motivator to pray and never give up, to draw closer to the heart of God and trust Him. Instead of withdrawing from God when He isn't answering me, let's consider instead what He might be trying to teach us during those times, knowing that as we draw closer to Him, He will draw closer to us. That's what He longs for, is for us to be in harmony with Him. Those tests are not easy. Those tests are hard, and it has shattered the faith of believers. Is disappointments in God, in unanswered prayer, because of your cryings out, God did not answer. Their cryings out, God did not answer. Those testings are not fun. So in prayer, it doesn't, I just want to encourage all of us, some of us are comfortable praying, some of us who find it harder to pray in public or with your family or in a group of people. The most important is that your heart connects with God in private and whenever you pray. And it's not how long or how short your prayer is. Daniel's short prayer was heard and immediately the messenger sent. The long prayer was heard and immediately the messenger sent. So it doesn't matter how long or short your prayer is. It doesn't, the eloquence and how well spoken your prayer is does not amount to anything. That's not what will move God's heart. But what will move God's heart is our humility and our brokenness before Him, our faith in Him, and our trust in Him, the fervency and the sincerity, so that then, in some profound way that I don't understand, it moves the heart of an almighty, all-powerful God. So, the condition of my heart, the condition of our heart in our relationship with God, that will affect then the amount of time we spend in prayer, right? It will determine the frequency of our prayers, the attitude of our prayers. So, I'll leave you with Hebrews 10, verse 22. It says, "Let us then draw near with a true heart in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water of God's word." And I'll leave you with, in closing, I'll leave you with a little acronym that I like. I've came across this years ago to help give some direction for your prayer, if you want, if you're looking for something. And it's simply ACTS, A-C-T-S, ACTS. Begin with the A is adoration. Express to God how much you adore Him. You can see that in the Psalms. You can see that in your spirit. You can feel it in your spirit. Adore Him. God, you're adorable. I adore you for... So adoration, and then confession. If there's something to confess to God, confess to God. If there's iniquity and sin, then confess it to God and find someone to confess it to as well. But adoration, confession, and then thanksgiving. Spend time in thanksgiving. God loves when we thank Him, when we have thankful hearts. And then supplication, or then the request. But supplication is the word for the acts, for requests. So adore Him, confess, give thanks, thanksgiving, and supplication. So that might be helpful for you. So may you be... Let's inspire each other, pray for one another, and persist in prayer and not give up. Because, like that song, we say, it will be one day, we're going to quit dreaming and we'll be in God's presence to those who are faithful to Him. And let us be found among those. And so, thank you for your attention and your participation. God bless you as you, when you're prompted to pray, and that's part of the reason I shared that story of our time in Asia, when you're prompted to pray for someone, pray for them. We might never know, most times we'll never know the effect of some of those prayers, but let's be faithful in praying. Like the lady, I just remembered now, the lady that stopped, pulled in our driveway at our house, and told my wife, you know what, it was dry, I don't know you. God laid it on my heart that I need to tell you that I'm praying for you. And it came at a time that it was a tremendous strengthening of our faith. And that dear lady, I never met her, but she prayed and she was faithful. So let's be that person. Let's increase our prayer life and our connection, our relationship with Jesus, to His glory, to His honor. So stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless your word and your desires to draw us closer to you. May we walk with you in harmony. And as we leave from here, grant us a blessed day and a blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen.